Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and happy February to you, and welcome to the Spirit Therapy Radio. My name is Nicole Tomasini. I am a spirit therapist, and today we are talking about other people. Everyone that's not you is what I mean by other people. Some people may think that I was talking about aliens and, the off-worlders. But I would just call those the others, and maybe I'll do a show about that at some point. But right now, I'm talking about other people in human form that are around us, and starting with the oneness that we all are, but also we're individuals. So we'll have that be the first thought of the night. The paradox of we are all one, and yet we are all just ourselves, and everyone is a reflection of us. Oh, how about that for a brain blower in the first 3 minutes? Yeah, but that's really what's going on. So it's all about the paradox and getting along with others in the community. Other people can be so great in our life. Nobody's an island. Yet sometimes we seek our own island, and we need that solitude. But yet, we also need other heads to help us. We need different perspectives. And especially if you're any kind of performer, you're wanting to help other people, well, you're going to need to have a lot of people around. And people being just like snowflakes, everyone's different. So it makes it very exciting. But of course, there's a lot of us to bump into. And so how do we bump into the people that we really want to bump into and avoid those that we would rather not? Well, it's all about vibration, isn't it? It's all about what kind of light standard we're holding with ourselves, and then we attract that. But one thing that I've noticed, especially in these accelerated times of change, is we are manifesting people who are not on our same level of vibration. Maybe they're just angry or just more negative than us. Or there are people from our past that are coming back around, and we've already made a decision that we don't want to partake in that vibration anymore. So why do they come back if you've already changed yourself and you are focused on something bigger and brighter? So I think one of the things that's happening, and since it's accelerated change, it's happening more often, that every time we change ourselves, I believe that the universe gives us a chance to really prove whether we do want to change ourselves every time. So let's say you've been attracting negative random people, like negative at the bank when you go, negative at the Burger King, negative at the gas station, like just a lot of angry people. And you're going, wow, there are a lot of angry, nasty people in the world. And of course, you thinking that is just going to bring more of them. But let's say you've made a conscious decision to not want to attract that and not have to be irritated and angry with people a lot. And you actually have done something you are on a different level. And then you find that every once in a while, or just less often, but still happening, people are showing up in your life that you're just like, ugh, why again with this type of person? Well, but I think how we react to that in that moment is what the universe is looking at. I mean, you can say all kinds of things and you can have a focus on better things, but yet, what do you do when the same old bullshit comes into your life? Are you going to have the same reaction that you had before you changed yourself? That's really, I think, what the universe is looking at. And, you know, not like a big brother kind of a way, but it's like you watching you. Like, are you really what you say you are? And you'll find that when you do go, all right, okay, it doesn't take you that long. You're like, all right, this is the same bullshit. Why is this coming in? I guess this needs to be cleaned out a little bit more. And I think the most convincing thing is to just go, oh, yeah, I know what you are. and laugh at the ridiculous negativity, you know. It's not that you're laughing at the person, although if that makes you feel better, then guess what? Like, by all means, do that. But if, you know, this person is clearly on some sort of negative vibration and that's what they're doing. So if we're honoring each other's free will, then you're going to honor them to be on whatever kind of negative vibe they want to be on. But that doesn't have to affect you one iota. And so that's where, you know, it's our testing grounds. It's our proving grounds, these people. You know, if you run into everybody that is wonderful and love and light, and that happens, you know, when you're focused on a high vibration, you can go a long time with just wonderful people, friends, and everyone's nice, and it's great. And then one day somebody shows up and you're just like, oh my God. And it can be like shocking because, you know, you're not used to seeing that. But again, it's just testing out your chops. You know, we're all testing out our chops. And then, of course, we have how much are you into other people's business? And how much are those people into your business? And how much do you care about everybody's business? And where does your business fall on the scale of what you're focused on? You know, I mean, if you're more focused on what, if more of the things that fly out of your mouth are about what Tom, Dick, and Harry are all doing, clearly that's more of the focus than yourself. And of course, that's running from your own thing. And everybody's a mirror, aren't they, at the end of the day? They're showing you something, the shadow side of you, the side of you that can be a dick and can be, you know, a little crybaby or can be anything, you know, just an angry little four-year-old with a tin sword in his hand. Like, you know, that's also part of us. We have to include all parts of ourselves as well as all parts and kinds of other people. So a lot of times when we get upset with other people, it's because they're pushing on something that's a button of ours. And that's where that mirror thing comes in. It's interesting to look at the whole mirror situation. Like, okay, so blanket statement, everyone is a mirror of me because I'm the center of my own universe and this is basically my play playing out in front of me. So, but then, you know, you just can't stand some people. Some people just really suck. And so you got to go, okay, so what does that mean? Like, does that mean parts of me really suck? Well, yeah. I wish I could put it another way. But yeah, we all are all these things. And that's really the inclusion of being able to accept all sides. But yet what you're focused on, you don't focus on everything. You focus on what you want to focus on. So if you're focused on the love and the light in you and the love and the light in others, I mean, it always happens. When you're in a good mood, you always attract people that are in a good mood. So being in other people's business or not, I mean, as a spirit therapist, I talk about other people's business all the time. I mean, I'm all about other people's business. That's what I do. So But obviously, you know, when does it become gossip? Well, that's when the judging comes in, obviously. And but if we're all mirrors of each other, then we're helping each other to tell our own story of who we are. We're seeing ourselves through what it's like to bump up against you, whatever you are, friend, foe, lover, parent, child, you know. So when you look at it that way, it's a little easier to deal with other people. Our resident psychic reader, Diane, picked a couple cards when we were talking about this topic. Di, if you want to call in, I thought maybe we would go into this. It kind of bounces off of our consciousness shift show. on Saturday, and I see P.E. Nolan in the chat room too. She was there for that show, talking about using different divination tools to see the world from a more broad symbolic perspective, and also to hear what spirit has to say on different topics like this. So Diane and I picked a card, or Diane picked a couple cards for other people. What does spirit want us to know about dealing with other people? And so the cards were 1, 2, 3, destiny, the world, and the solitaire card. I was like, well, that's basically everything, isn't it? I mean, destiny, everybody's on some sort of destiny. I think of destiny like, yeah, everything is laid out for you, but it's choose your own adventure. I mean, anything is possible. So you're still choosing. So in a way, nothing is set in stone because you haven't chosen yet at that moment. But yet, all the paths and all the possibilities are already laid out, and they just depend on the choice. So that's how I see destiny. And she also saw it as the medical card, which I thought was very interesting. Diane just called in. Maybe she can tell a little bit more about the destiny card. Hi, Diane.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well.
Okay.
So you want to jump I've in on the cards?
I know. I give me 1 second because I just pulled them out. So I was like, I didn't know we were going to go right into them.
I mean, I was just thinking of the ones because they're so perfect, like the ones that you pulled this afternoon, like, and talking about the medical card with destiny. I just thought that was because I think it's all about taking care of ourselves and taking care of ourselves on a spiritual, energetic level, as well as on a physical level, and talking about taking care of ourselves with energy, you know, what other people do you mesh with, and are they part of your medicine, or are they part of your, you know, bitterness?
Well, this is the way that I would look at this card, the destiny, you know, it can be related to the Wheel of Fortune. Is where you'd find it in the major arcana. And it does look like on this particular deck, it's an Imperial Dragon deck. And it does look like the dragon, it has that similar shape of, you know, the two crossing snakes that we would think of medical terms. Mm-hmm. So it's wrapped around a symbol for that. But what they were talking about is the exactly it, the same thing that you were talking about, the energies that create luck for us to fulfill our destiny. Like if you're not doing the right thing or you're not in the right place at the right time, you can miss slots for your destiny, you know? Like in order to fulfill your destiny, if you're going to be like a great orator, well, there's no way you're fulfilling that destiny if you're staying at home. You know, you have to meet such and such a person or have such and such an experience to talk on, or else you're never going to be able to fulfill the destiny. So it is a matter of movement and energy and connecting you to the right people. Like that's exactly what it is connecting you to the right people. Mm-hmm. Like who are you connected to? You know, you're born into an environment, but that does not mean that you're going to stay connected to that environment at all. You know, so then your destiny card comes up, and it is exactly what you're talking about. It's about you and how you're relating to other people and how you're projecting yourself like to those, or propelling yourself in a way where there's movement involved to the people right. that you need to see in order to create. Well, what we picked was the world card. You know, how do you create your world from where
yeah.
you are by yourself?
It definitely, while you're talking, I'm thinking of you have to tune into your own inner guidance. I mean, that's when you know that, you know, if you're stuck in a rut, or that's when you know when, you know, you just need to relax and it's coming. There's nothing you need to do right now. You know, I mean, there's a whole scale.
So much that totally just reminded me of the first time I met your father, and sitting in his pyramid. Like, sometimes you need to follow that inner guidance. You have to stop and meditate and get your inner guidance. And just, like, I don't know, he had this great pyramid that you could, like, focus, you know?
Yeah. Well, that'll bring me to, I'll talk about later, about, you know, what other people think of you. And what you're doing, and, you know, maybe it looks crazy at the time, but actually it's quite wise, you know. Like you know, your father builds a pyramid in the middle of his bedroom, and he goes, all right, I'm doing this now. So,
which made total sense to me.
Right. I mean, if you're down with it, you're just like, yeah, man, why haven't you done this before? I think I need one, right? So.
Exactly. That's how I was feeling. Yeah. I was like, let me sit in your pyramid for a minute so I can clarify my own thoughts.
Right. So, it's so great. Makes sense now. That was like 1980 something. They were doing that. But anyway. But just the world card, I mean, and you had said that it's a very pleasant card and a calming card. And so I think of that as the way we want to see the world, and how pleasant and calm we are with ourselves is the world that we're going to create.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, we're looking for good. We're seeking the good. We're looking for that rebirth, that balance, that energy, that's calming. Just good.
Yeah, just how to relax into the ride. Yeah, you know. Like drive some sort of, you know, a BMW or like, you know, just a smooth ride. Don't pick a go-kart. Right? But we do many
Unless
times.
Unless you want to ride a go-kart.
Right, yeah.
Totally.
Unless you're on
you.
The cart. Yeah, yeah.
Unless
totally.
You're, what's his name, taking a motorcycle through Mongolia. That's
right. Exactly. Well, and
not
that
my
brings
cup
us...
of tea.
Ah, that's another one. I'm going to pick up on that, what you think about what other people are doing. But anyway, the solitaire card, you know, the third one, you said also means schooling, the hermit card, and what you're learning. And so I think in order to have this pleasant, calm world and to be medicinal to yourself and others and follow your own destiny, you have to start with the solitaire and find out who are you. I mean, where is your greatness? And so far, the best trick for that is meditation. Across the board, more and more people are saying, I guess there's really something to this meditation business.
I agree.
Yeah, taking that time for self. So...
Well, it definitely starts there. I mean, I think that morning meditation and evening meditation are crucial, you know,
yeah.
just in
yeah,
general. I mean, anybody who's like in, I mean, 99% of the people that are spiritual would have to agree with that. Whether we practice it all the time, I can't say that anybody's perfect in it, but it's definitely when you think back to where did you start, and even if it was a few minutes a day, to building up to 20 minutes a day, or, you know, or going on a spiritual retreat that lasts a weekend. It's, you know, it's one of those things that it helps.
And how far you
can
go. Yeah.
Yeah, meditate in the car. I know there's a lot of people who work out there, and they go, I don't know when I'm going to find 5 minutes to meditate. But at work, like at lunch, I would just go and just relax 10 minutes, you know, set the timer and stuff. There's the places. I mean,
yeah.
We need, if you're not finding the place to meditate, I guess, then like how can you like reach your destiny point? Like go back to exactly what you said, go back to the solitude. It's like if you can't find that place to meditate, then how can you out into the world to reach your destiny? And, you know, how do you know if you're on the right vibration?
It's the compass, right? It's you tuning into your own compass. Yeah, you said morning meditation, and I've just started to embrace and start to practice the idea and the actions of the morning meditation and the morning stretches, even if it's also for 5 minutes, like waking up the body, not just the mind. And even just a little bit that I do, just a moment to clarify my thoughts and to ground in myself. I mean, I don't even necessarily get into any kind of meditative pose. I just look out the window and stretch myself, and I have a little app for yoga. And Deepak tells you how to do it. Well, this lady shows you, and you just do a couple of those. I mean, you know, and you're good. Like your body, it's definitely a different alignment. So it is amazing the things you can find in your solitude that really affects your life. I mean, I just want to mention, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that is hearing a lot about transcendental meditation. You know, you don't really know what it is until you sign up for it, and it's a fair amount of money. But people have been doing it for, you know, 40 years. David Lynch is a big dude in it, and Jerry Seinfeld. And actually, my cousin started to do it, and she really enjoys it. And all it is they give you a mantra that you're supposed to do for 20 minutes or less in the morning and 20 minutes or less at night. And apparently, like, you know, everybody is just raving about it. So I was kind of thinking, like, is it about the mantra? Is it that you're actually committing to doing this? Like, does everyone need the TM? You know, I mean, none of these questions need to be answered. It's not about meditation. I'm just saying, you know, the road to at least start to find your road in the meditation, and there are all these avenues now to go deep in yourself.
Yeah, I mean, seeking is part of the fun, don't you think?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
totally.
I remember, I mean, just growing up in the church I grew up in, I had that sort of meditation, but I've been to other churches and other centers and you know, been able to be in shaman meditations and Buddhist meditations, and I've been really blessed to be in a group of people who meditate weekly every morning for 5 minutes a day, you know, and just chill. So, you know, you know, with other seekers, you will find it. You'll find what you need too.
And a lot of times, by contrast, it's interesting that you bring up also the religion, because I was having a discussion with one of my clients today about Abraham. I was talking about Abraham that Esther Hicks channels, and he said, was that Abraham like Abraham in the Bible? And then we discussed that Abraham apparently was the guy that brought in all the different religions, like, you know, was part of Christianity, part of Judaism, and part of Islam. And as I know Abraham, it's about all facets of the light. So it's like different ways, you know, how they say all fingers pointing to the same thing, you know. So the inclusion
I've
of
heard,
like,
that same reference to Abraham being of all gods. That's the God of gods. You know what I mean? Like the God of God.
Yeah,
it's universal. When you're talking to everybody in the world, you want to, you know, the God of Abraham.
Right. So talk about inclusion of other people, and then, you know, it's split into different factions with his sons and everybody, you know, sort of fine-tuning and clarifying from their own view. But it all started from the center, you know. So I think that's a really good analogy for other people, because, you know, I mean, so many wars are all about my God, your God, us versus them, you know, so to remember that it's really all the same thing at the end of the day. And it really does change the tune around other people when you have that as one of your main vibrations in your head of all right, you know, I'm really just bumping into myself, you know, and different facets of myself and looking at, and isn't it fun to see all the contrasts and, you know, different people, different religions, right? Yeah. So you had said also, you know, just the last to close up on the cards, and thank you so much. Diane's available for readings. You can find her on spirittherapynyc.com. That the last cards were all about love, destiny, romance, having babies, you know, but being on guard or having love. And I mean,
it was a whole big reading, and there was just a lot of stuff coming through it, but there was a lot of really great energy. And at the end of it was like rebirthing. It was like kind of like love coming through. There was being defensive, like starting out where the general populace like really goes out guarded to the community. Like if someone's stepping out in the community, they feel shy, they feel self-centered, they feel guarded, they don't feel open. But it's the key that unlocks everything is love. That's the, you know, and then when that does, it creates a shift in energy. And when you talk about the baby thing, it was like the fullness of like pregnancy, but it's like not pregnancy in a sense, but it's like Mother Nature, like, you know, things growing and seeds being planted and, you know, tapping back to where we used to be and not being so, get away from the technology world and like kind of bringing it back to when we used to bake our own bread and things like that, just something more natural.
That's
of the vibration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we could actually trade for something as opposed to, you know, if you don't have your debit card, you know, forget it.
Right. Coming back to
I've seen you almost every single day in my whole entire life because I come to the same exact store, but I can't give you a cup of coffee because you forgot your wallet today.
Right. Like I forget about the humanity. Right.
Mm.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people like wave to their neighbors and or know the people that are next door to them or even the people. And, you know, your community can be very, very small and people can feel very isolated. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot to... I want to get into being the on guard or the super defensive and also opening up to love. I mean, both of those things has everything to do with other people. So, but we're coming to the half hour mark, so I was going to maybe play my song. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm just really going to, I'm enjoying the show, so I'm going to just listen up for the rest of the show, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and, thank you for your insights. They're always real right on point. All right, so thanks, Di.
All right.
I'll meet you there.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. And yeah, well, I think this is the perfect setup for the on guard or super defensive or opening up to love is the song that I chose for today, which is a remix of Under Pressure. Talk about two people, two powerhouses of music, David Bowie and Freddie Mercury coming together to make beautiful music. So it's a little remix. I'll see you in 3 minutes. Enjoy.
The terror of knowing what this world is.
So much fun. Oh, so great. Those two definitely bring me to one of the most important points I would like to make about other people is shining and being whatever you are, no matter what that is. Think about Freddie Mercury with the pipes of an angel, and he's this flamboyant gay dude. And, you know, he's in a time when it's a hot topic, and he was himself. And David Bowie, too, you know. I mean, definitely tapped into something beyond this world and communicated with him for quite a number of years. And he just was it. I mean, this male, female, alien-like creature, two different eyes, colored eyes. So how do we just become ourselves when there's so many other people, and a lot of people have told us about conformity and, you know, well, what box do you fit into? I mean, you gotta fit in a box. I mean, why? I didn't realize this world was all boxes. Alan Watts talks about that. He goes, when we build in squares and right angles, and there are no squares and right angles in nature at all. I mean, everything's curvy and wiggly and wavy and breezy. So, you know, with our rigidity, and being rigid is really about judgment, right? And we're really judging ourselves. We're not sure if we can be who we really are because it might be kind of weird. So, I don't know, people are going to give me that look and start, you know, saying stuff or thinking stuff, and I know that look that people get when they think that I'm weird, you know. So then you're talking yourself into this whole hole of why you should not go ahead and be yourself. Yeah, it can be very convincing, but is it necessary? Not really, obviously. Who wants to not be themselves? No one, really, you know. So instead of that, you know, talking ourselves into being ourselves, and like Diane was saying about enjoying the choices and the discovery of different religions or different ways of meditating, different anything, and also seeing what makes you different. Like, what if you were gonna write your synopsis for like who this character is, and you are the star of your own movie? You know, how would you want to, you know, forget about what is or what isn't, just how would you want this person to be described? You know, very worried about what other people are thinking about her, him, you know, therefore does X, Y, and Z. You know, the guy is pompous, or the girl is timid, or, you know, precocious, whatever, however it, you know, But like, how do you see your own uniqueness and your best friends? Why are they your best friend? I mean, why do you love these people? Because they accept you, especially with your weirdness and especially with your quirkiness, and they love it. And you go, oh my God, you love it? And they're like, I love it. It's hilarious. And usually, you know, the other person also, it's reciprocal. So that's why we love the people that we love, because we're vibrating on this. There's an acceptance, right? I can be myself. But the only person that's making us not be ourselves is ourselves. When we're with other people that we don't trust or feel quite a kinship with, so then maybe we're a little worried, right? I mean, there's different levels of this, obviously. But, you know, it's something that I really wanted to talk about in this arena of how much you care about what other people think. Keeping in mind that people are a mirror of you. So criticism and praise, how do you take it? And if you take one way, do you have to take the other one the same way? You know, if you don't listen to criticism, then you can't listen to praise. Or if you listen to the praise, you got to listen to the criticism too. I don't know. Like, neither one really quite sits right with me. I think you have to employ both. I think you have to see where the criticism and where the praise is coming from. But at the end of the day, you're the one deciding where it's coming from. So, well, my default setting is to just bubble up, right? Always when I interact with other people, I always bubble up just so I know where my anchor is. I know where my love, I'm always traveling in love and light, and I have suited up just like I've put on clothes. I've also put on my spiritual clothes, right? So anything you say, whether it's a praise or it's a attack or a criticism, just sort of ripples in front of me and I go, ooh, what's that? And I can choose to just look at the facts of what this person has said, their facts, whatever, you know, just the facts, not the feelings, and assess it and see what I feel about these facts, you know, and see what I think. Do I agree? You know, maybe they're right and I haven't considered that, you know. So there's a lot of, it's also an advanced class type of a thing, right? You're going to find how you feel about, but at the end of the day, it's all about feeling good. You have to find the spot that feels good, and then that's the truth. Yeah. Whew. Sometimes these rampages just come out. So, yeah. So at the end of the day, it comes down to if you're judging yourself or not, and if you've made peace with your own discord, and if you've accepted the fact that there is no such thing as perfection, really, it's really just about learning and learning and learning. Then, you know, no matter what other people do, it doesn't matter. You can accept it because you know where your center is. So, the analogy would be that, you know, if you burn yourself on the stove, are you going to blame the stove for being hot or because you can't control yourself? You know, you're just going to have to burn yourself on this. It's the same thing with interacting with people who, you know, are just, you know, like a walking shit show or people that just out of nowhere piss you off. It has to be about, okay, they can do whatever they need to do, and I will not be thrown from my happy feeling place. Well, easier said than done. But I think we're getting better and better at the wobble and then coming back to center, you know, quickly. I think I think if you're wobbling and you're coming back to center quickly, you're doing a really good job right now as, you know, as holding your own light. And acceptance and inclusion. I don't know if I've said this enough times yet, but acceptance and inclusion of yourself and others. Isn't that what it's all about with dealing with other people? So like if we're getting annoyed at other people, we're really annoyed at ourselves. Zion, our intuitive drawer, said that to me years ago. He said, you know, I used to get so angry. Oh my goodness. And, you know, justified, always justified, right? I want justice. But he said, you know, if every time you're getting angry at somebody else, you're really getting angry at yourself. You're really angry at yourself. I was like, what? Why would I be so angry with myself? But he's right. At the end of the day, it is. You're angry because this thing pushed a button that's a weakness in you, you know, that makes you angry. You know, like the Super Bowl. If you're too annoyed or too into the Super Bowl, it's too far in either direction, right? I kind of caught myself this year. I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, what is the, like, it's serious judgment on, like, all right, if you're super into the Super Bowl, I kind of think you're a moron. But, you know, that is a really strong judgment there. But, you know, I got all my reasons, whatever, who cares? But, you know, I mean, it's still happening, and there's a wonderful side to it. I just feel like you should go about it correctly. But at the end of the day, what am I saying? I just want people to do things well so that they're the most happy and the most free. And I feel like football, you know, this kind of focus on football instead of your life and things that, you know, actually could make you happy more than just once a year, you know, maybe you're not doing it the right way. That's it. You know, I don't have to get, why would I get angry about it, right? If I'm getting too angry, that means I think, oh, the world's not getting it together. And then you get into that like Scrooge kind of a, you know, the old man on the lawn shaking his fist at, you know, oh, you whippersnappers. So the final thought is you have to be able to laugh at everything. I mean, like everything. If you can laugh at it, it's floaty, right? It's got to be all right. You can't laugh and be in a terrible, terrible mood at the same time. So it's a good gauge for knowing that, you know, your compass is working and you can weather any storm, no matter what shape, size, color, sex they come in, right? Those other people. And then how about we spend the last section on loving people and how awesome people can be in our life, right? I talked about how people can get on your nerves and, oh my goodness, now it's talking about the love and the light. Well, I mean, how about let's talk about our tribe, you know, people that we're on the same level with. I think we're like souls that are sort of running parallel and we're always in the same spot in the marathon, you know, of our lives. So we're always just like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, depending on whatever body we're in. Oh, yeah, I know you. What's up? Nice, right? So that kind of a feeling to have those other people is really a big chunk of what life is all about. And if you're looking for new people or you're looking for new friends, maybe old ones are dropping off. And especially if you're growing, a lot of times you realize like you can be of no service to each other. So then it's up to somebody severing the tie, right? And if you're the stronger one, it's probably always going to be you, you know? So if you feel like you're severing a lot of ties, it may just be because you've always been the stronger one in these relationships. And so now you also have to set both of you free for the good of all, you know, however that works. I think silence, I usually default to silence. If I'm saying nothing, you know, real, my phone's with me. You know my phone's with me. If I say silence, that's either I'm super busy, but if I care, you'll hear from me eventually. But if it's been 3 days, that's my answer, right? And then if we need to get into it, then you know, I will tell you. But I don't want you to have to think anything, you know? Just think your own reasons. Make it cool for you, right? It breaks with people shouldn't be a terrible thing, you know? It's blessings, love, and light, right? So if you're looking for new people and you're severing old ties, well, it's all about trust, isn't it? It's trusting that the universe is going to bring you people that are on your wavelength. And there's a caller, and it says anonymous. Hello, caller anonymous. Your mic is live if you'd like to join in or if you're just listening.
I just don't know why my brain does that. Like, I don't know how to turn that off.
What?
The mean thing in my brain, it's like, just cuts me down. It's just, you know.
What cuts you down?
Like, you're so stupid. Like, it's so mean. Like, the inside of my brain, I hate it. I hate myself because it just keeps going on and on about how, like, I can't do anything. Like, and everything I do, it's like, I feel like it's, like,
so,
I'm about to have to go to the gastroenterologist. I don't know if they have to look at my dirty stuff.
So, what are you saying? So, what's your question?
No, I said was, I guess you're not talking to me.
So funny. I kind of felt this bizarre vibration. And then there was that. So that brings up a good point of following your instinct. And, you know, if you're paying attention, you're probably super sensitive to vibration right now. So if people are, you know, throwing you or saying things and blah, 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 it's exactly what I was talking about in the beginning. Of sometimes, you know, you have to see what the other side looks like in order to go, all right. And it's always testing us, right? It's always seeing how we're going to, you know, float with it. Because, you know, anybody that's in there in the chat room, like, anything to say on that? Woo! Oh, my God. So weird. Was it as weird for you as it was for me? All right. So where do you go back to after that? My mic is getting crazy. It is Mercury retrograde, and we've got a big old full moon tomorrow. And yeah, there's something else that was happening astrologically. Well, and then we have the Chinese New Year coming up. So it is a very interesting configuration. Sorry, Diane just sent me a smiley face that sticks its tongue out at me. And it made me laugh, but I realized that people listening in later have no idea what I'm laughing at. Okay. So, yeah, welcome to anybody can call in radio. what else? Do you have to fix other people's shit? That was what was on my next thing. Or is it just your own? Well, it's always your own, isn't it? You know? I mean, sometimes if you're all balanced and stuff, you have to have somebody come in that really, like, throws you a punch, right? And it could just be like an energetic punch and, you know, how do you react and how do you find your center again? It's all about how strong your center is in the beginning. Yeah, man. All right. So 10 more minutes. And what else do we want to say about other people? Well, I'm looking at this visual that Diane had brought up in our card session, of Niagara Falls and the energy of the vortex and the movement of the energy. And my comment was, well, you know, Niagara Falls, interesting when talking about other people, because we're all just droplets of water coming together in a total rush of energy. So with Niagara Falls being kind of like us and the rush of the energy of the vortex is what our grounding is all about, and how much, you know, if you have Niagara Falls behind you, well, you're kind of got it going on. They called back, and I'm just going to hang up. If I sounded distracted, it's because I was trying to decide whether I needed to take action and, you know, delete their call or just not answer it. But the energy, yeah, man. Well, all right. Other people. Well, I'll tell you how I'm feeling now. You know, I'm like, all right. So it's all about balancing when you get some sort of bout with another person. And I guess I'm supposed to talk about having the strength to come back to where? To where you were. I mean, all things that happen are all things that are teaching you things. So do I need to go back to my notes, or do I just pick up where we are here? I don't know. And then we wait for guidance. And I look at my notes and it says, their desire for love causing them to withdraw or become introverted. To isolate is not enjoyable, but healing and finally cleaning up old stuff. So whenever anybody acts in some sort of negative or attack sort of a way, our best defense is to remember that everyone, every single person on the planet desires love. Everyone. And if they are reacting like that, you know, they're a warrior just like we're a warrior. And they're just lost in a box and they think they're in a box. So they're screaming out and you may have just walked by the box, you know. And if you're a lot of love and light and you walk by the box, it makes the box even angrier, you know, when you can see the sunlight but you can't get to it, you know. It can be quite disturbing for them. So I think that's a good place to leave where this is if things happen or people come around that are not of love and light, it is for you to realize how much love and light you are. And the more you stay in that, you know, it's all light. Everything that comes into it becomes light. So, you know, you turn on a light in a dark room, everybody knows where it is. Everybody knows. So, and now I'm looking at the balance and being graceful or being on guard and being super defensive. It really is about opening up to love right now and saying and doing whatever you really feel, knowing that others may or may not agree with you or like it. So, I mean, let's think about like Einstein and Tesla. I mean, Einstein didn't talk until he was 4, failed in school, couldn't become what his father wanted. I mean, it was like a total just disappointment to all the people around him. And then falls into a patent job and is bored looking out the window, watching people run for the bus, and comes up with the theory of relativity. I mean, so who is anyone to say, you know, what you are and you being on your own path, right? And listening to your own inner guidance and compass. Tesla, same thing, you know. Fell in with the money dudes. That was part of what he had to show us. You know, we had to see it for what it was. People weren't quite ready for what Tesla had to say. Free energy for everybody? What do you mean? You just stick a rod in the ground? So, yeah, actually. And people, it was magic. And then the press, you know, took hold of him. So, but now, you know, there's all this energy is here for a reason. And now if you're part of the light, then everything around you must be part of the light too. You know, the ones that stay. There's plenty of things that pass through, right? It's a world of inclusion. But the ones that stay, you know, and that's what matters, really. Your friends and people that you love. Yeah, man. All right. So here's our challenge, people, right now. Opening our hearts to love, opening ourselves to other people, attracting in some new experiences and some new people, and attracting the good ones. You know, only the good ones will stick around, right? So while still always protecting ourselves and always remembering to do your own version of bubble up and protect yourself to the world. Because you need to take care of you before you can take care of anyone else. So you need to be number one. Because you are number one, and you always will be and always have been. So, love and light to all of you. And here we go. A little bump, but a bump, bump for our outros. Check out spirittherapynyc.com, and we will see you next week for another round of Spirit Therapy with myself, Nicole Tomasini. Thank you, everyone.